40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Tens of thousands of customers have no power in the Northeast today as a powerful nor'easter moves out. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez is in the thick of it.
The snow fell fast and furiously here in upstate New York, piling up to more than a foot before it changed over to icy rain, then all rain, giving utility crews a chance to tend to power and internet outages. In Brattleboro, Vermont,
honestly, the heaviest snow I've ever seen.
Anatoly Holchek staring at more than 2 feet and fallen trees blocking the streets. At least 5 semi-trucks jackknifed at the main New Hampshire state line. And in Boston, Will Holbrook summed it up.
It's New England and it's still March. Winter's not over yet.
Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News in upstate New York.
About 100 people are trapped in California's Tulare County after yet another atmospheric river drenched the Golden State. KGPE-TV reporter Esteban Reynoso has more.
A helicopter normally used to fight wildfires is now carrying hundreds of pallets of food to people stranded in Tulare County.
Emergency food rations and water for those trapped residents.
Strong currents from the South Fork Cahuilla River completely washed out roads.
In Texas, a hearing will be held today in a lawsuit that seeks to overturn the FDA's approval of an abortion pill. Dr. Kristen Brandy on what will happen if that lawsuit succeeds.
It would be devastating because a lot of people rely on this medication. It's something that has been the standard of care for over 20 years.
The drug has become the most common method of abortion in the U.S. Ohio is taking Norfolk Southern to court over last month's derailment and toxic fire in East Palestine. Dave Yost is the state's attorney general.
I'm concerned that Norfolk and Southern may be putting profits for their own company above the health and safety of cities and communities that they operate in.
Embattled U.S. Representative George Santos of New York says he's not going anywhere. CBS's Nicole Killian has the latest.
New York Congressman George Santos has filed paperwork to run again in 2024. The Long Island Republican submitted a statement of candidacy to the Federal Election Commission. Santos has not officially announced his reelection, but the filing does allow him to raise money.
Santos is under investigation over allegations, including sexual misconduct and campaign finance violations. NASA has released an image captured by the Webb Space Telescope, which shows a star about to die. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood has more.
What pictures like this show are the details leading up to those final moments, which are really important in terms of stellar evolution and how the elements that make life possible, for example, are actually formed.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store or Staples Connect.
March 15th.
What's March 15th?
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of up to 50% off on our Civic Media Premium Weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number. Don't wait. March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Tween made you see.
We are the boys.
It's painful.
are the boy band, always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app? Well, please take the test and don't predict that you don't want to.
Listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
Ahead of that April 4th election. We'll get an update from weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro on some snow that's going to be falling across mostly central and southern Wisconsin, it sounds like. We'll get Michael's update in just a sec. And Todd Alba from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show will join us as well. His show comes up next on many of these Civic Media Radio Network stations. If you'd like to join us to talk about any of the issues we've covered already today or one of your own, you can call 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155, as Mark in Prairie du Sac did, to join us now to kind of pick up the conversation on things from last hour. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I hope my voice holds up because I've been battling that long-term respiratory virus now for a couple of months.
Ooh, yikes. Okay, well, go ahead.
Man, but that's on top of a successful surgery on my cancer back in December, so that's all of the good. But I mean, I couldn't help, you tied in the in what happened in Oklahoma and the religious faith leaders, quote-unquote religious faith leaders that were opposed to it. And I saw on the PBS program last night on the news hour about how in Texas, judges in other states are actually referring to, canonical doctrine from what, the 14th or 15th century, and using that as a basis for United States law, and that's completely anathema to, of course, our foundational principles of separation of church and state. And why we are, it's ironic that when Kennedy was elected, he said, I'll never listen to the Pope and what, in terms of what the law should be. Now we have judges referring to canonical doctrine as a basis of establishing law, as opposed to, women's reproductive freedom, or anybody's reproductive freedom for that matter. And women are actually, women are going to die because of this. Women are not getting treatment for bleeding disorders because the medication they use, they consider, an abortion drug, they're opposed to birth control in any form, where they wanted to die access to birth control for women in general, and especially, parents that say, well, if anybody can get birth control, that's a violation of my rights, and that's just so completely anathema to me, at least, to what America is supposed to be all about.
Hey, I mean, Mark, I'll go one further on that, and it ties into something I brought up yesterday, but I'm going to mention it today as well, because it got confirmed by our friend Kristen Lierley, who's out in Washington, D.C., talking to members of Congress on behalf of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, in which she and other members of this group were told by certain Republican members of Congress that if you even mention abortion during your visits, that they will work to undermine the entire legislative agenda of these physicians. So on the one hand, we're talking about how churches and religious leaders seem to have more political speech than ever, and it's physicians who are having their voices, their freedom of speech, silenced by ideological politicians in the halls of Congress. It turns everything that, like you said, the values that our nation espouses, turns it on its head.
Yeah, correct. I mean, that, and if these religious faith leaders want to get so involved in politics, which they have been, that then tax exemption should be out the door. I mean, because that was part of the agreement back in, I believe, the 1950s. They say, you guys stay out of politics, we won't charge you taxes. And since they've jumped in, you know, full throat and voice from the pulpit as well, you know, endorsing candidates and that those tax exemptions should go out the door, and that it is just, I mean, in some cases, there's, for a woman, there's cases where there's no choice but the abortion to save the life of the mother, and in some states, that's not even an exemption anymore.
No, it's not. And trust me, the politicians who are speaking out loudest against any kind of exceptions are also the ones who are going to get the care they need if, in fact, they need it. Mark, excellent points. Thank you for calling in, and hoping that you're feeling better, and look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks. We're going to take this break. Thanks, Mark. We will then talk to weatherology meteorologist Michael Cairo about what's moving into our area and where you have to be very cautious where you're driving. Before we do that, first, a quick little sports update that the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Orlando Magic last night, 134-123. That's their 18th win in the past 19 games. The Bucks did it without Giannis Antetokounmpo, who has some kind of a non-COVID illness. Drew Holiday has a sore neck. And so the rest of the team filled in nicely. Bobby Portis Jr. with 16 points. Jay Crowder, 15 points. Basically, they had good rhythm in getting the win. And they are home tomorrow night to play Brooklyn. And the Badger men's basketball team plays in the Big Ten tournament this evening in Chicago against Ohio State at 5:30. All right, weather and more coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
The Ides of March, the day that Caesar was killed, and it's the final day for you to make a killer deal.
March 15th.
That's right, March 15th is your last day to take advantage of our biggest sale. We're slashing prices on our premium sponsorships up to 50%.
Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results.
But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows around 38. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 45. Overcast skies. A dusting of snow Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Fox News. And again, I always hesitate to put news in there, but the Fox basic cable political communication channel, you can call it propaganda if you want to. Anyway, how can you tell they're lying? Their lips are moving, as the song would say. And there's even more evidence that was released yesterday proving the truth of that statement. Fox Corporation Chair Rupert Murdoch said under oath he believes the 2020 presidential election was free, fair, and not stolen. That's according to court filings that were released yesterday in the voting machine company Dominion's defamation lawsuit over the way Fox News covered the Donald Trump's false election fraud claims after the 2020 election. In sworn questioning back in January by lawyers for Dominion Voting Systems, Rupert Murdoch was asked point blank, do you believe the 2020 presidential election was free and fair? Yes, he replied, according to the transcript. The election was not stolen, he said later. The transcript and some other material released on Tuesday expand on some of the earlier disclosures that paint a portrait of behind-the-scenes doubt or even outright dismissal of what Trump was claiming, even as the network gave those claims more and more airtime. And Murdoch has acknowledged that he didn't stop various Fox News commentators from promoting the baseless claims, even though he could have. And so that's why Dominion is suing Fox for $1.6 billion, saying that the network crippled Dominion's business by broadcasting false claims by Trump's lawyers that Dominion had changed votes in the 2020 election. Fox says.
And before Pat continues that discussion, we do have an update with some current weather from Weatherology.
We're here once again and looking at dry conditions across all of the state of Wisconsin here for today, and temperatures not looking too bad. Actually, in a little bit above average for a change here, at least for today, at least expecting highs to get up close to that 40 degree mark for areas like Wausau and over to near River Falls and Baldwin, but to looking at upper 40s for high temperatures, including Madison and Milwaukee by this afternoon. Could even approach those middle to upper 40s in areas like La Crosse. It will be a little bit breezier for today as well. Winds kicking up out of the south to around 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then for tonight, as a cold frontal boundary begins to approach from the west, we do pick up a slight chance for some rain shower activity developing later on tonight, especially across the northern two-thirds of the state. Those overnight low temperatures for tonight looking to drop back into the middle part of the 30s for the northern half of the state, upper 30s to near that 40-degree mark for areas like Madison, La Crosse, as well as Milwaukee. Then through the course of Thursday, looking to stay as predominantly rain across most of the state, but by later on into the afternoon time frame, areas like River Falls up to near Park Falls and including as well as Hayward will start to mix in some snow up that way. Some additional accumulations of snow to the tune of 1 to 2 inches, not out of the question, across areas, especially to the west of an Eau Claire to near Park Falls line. High temperatures on your Thursday, still quite mild across the eastern two-thirds of Wisconsin. Highs working up into the 40s, but tumbling back into the 30s for far northwestern portions of the state. That snow-rain mixed line continues to progress eastward then into Thursday night time frame. The heaviest snow accumulations still expected across northwestern portions of Wisconsin, where we do have some winter storm watches already in effect. Areas like Rice Lake up through near Park Falls and points off to the northwest could see some 4 to 6 plus inch snow totals up that way. Areas like the Fox River Valley down to near Madison and Milwaukee, though, only expecting around a half inch of any snow accumulation. Lows dropping back into the 20s there, pretty much statewide into Thursday night. And then a cold and breezy day in store to wrap up your work week on Friday. Still could pick up a couple of additional inches of snow accumulation in areas from Wausau and points off to the north, but definitely on the colder and windy side, highs only in the 20s for northwestern and west central portions of Wisconsin, with 30s still hanging on across the east.
Well, thank you very much from Weatherology. Now back to you, Pat.
Cheer cherry-picking and misrepresenting the remarks by Fox News hosts. I don't know how you really cherry-pick a lie and one that impacts a company. I mean, you heard Dominion ceaselessly on Fox and other right-wing media sources in the weeks following the 2020 election. And if you were in any way, shape, or form inclined to believe Trump or give him the benefit of the doubt, you were casting Dominion as one of the villains in this. The lawsuit was a gimme if nothing truly untoward had happened. And spoiler alert, nothing untoward happened in the 2020 election. So, Dominion was, of course, going to sue. And the questioning, the depositions that were taken have shown more than I think anybody thought possible that what, again, people knew to be the case behind the scenes, that Fox is engaged more in political communication than in actual journalism. And that they'll acknowledge that behind closed doors, but, we weren't supposed to find out. And we did. Murdoch, in the deposition material that was recently released, was worried about Trump telling a friend in an email that Trump was apparently not sleeping and bouncing off the walls. The real danger is what he might do as president, Murdoch added in the message. He acknowledged that he kept certain guests from appearing on Fox News and even intervened with on-air talent. He barred Trump advisor Steve Bannon, he admitted, because, quote, I just see him as a fringe character. But some of the network's biggest stars continued to express disbelief in the election claims. And as we continue to learn more, we continue to learn the depths to which certain Fox hosts will sink. And just when you think it couldn't get lower, well, again, as they repeatedly prove to us, there is no bottom. And Tucker Carlson has proved it again this week. You'll recall that he was handed 41,000 hours of security footage from around the U.S. Capitol from January 6, 2021. He was handed all this security video by the new Speaker of the House, Republican Kevin McCarthy, who could have released it to everybody, let everybody see it, let everybody review it, or he could have released it to nobody. So that, again, we don't know where the security cameras all are. We don't know any, secret entrances or special, access points or what have you. But instead, he released it to a liar and a propagandist who then has begun cherry picking through the video to somehow try to make the case that what you saw on January 6th actually wasn't that bad. And I'll tell you something, watching the reaction from Republicans yesterday, what was almost gratifying, the number of Republican members of Congress who tried to put some distance between themselves and what Tucker Carlson was showing and claiming. He was looking to basically make the case that it was a lot calmer, that the people in the Capitol were almost on the level of tourists, and that there were Capitol police figures who were either not hurt as bad as claimed, or maybe were even helpful to the demonstrators. And it just tells you that there is no bottom to what some people will sink to try to defend an attack on democracy. Now, Tucker Carlson has been in favor of autocrats for years, from Hungary to Turkey to Donald Trump. If America went back to its original debate about a democracy or a monarchy, America had monarchists back then in those early days. And I mean, they were almost like a political party saying, this is what we want. We just don't want England's king anymore. We want our own. It didn't make you a traitor at the time. It just said, this is the kind of government we think we should have. And eventually, of course, thankfully, democracy won. And we thought we were done seeing monarchists here, but we're not. They're back. They're back with a vengeance, a literal vengeance. More than 100 cops, law enforcement officers, were beaten injured, some very badly, some committed suicide afterwards, from taking part in hand-to-hand bloody combat with what they thought were fellow Americans, though I have a tough time seeing them as equal in their citizenship, shall we say, because they attacked our country. They attacked our national capital based on a lie. Based on a lie that, as we learned again yesterday with more evidence, a lie that was set in place even before Election Day, and a conspiracy that continued to be planned after the election, very nearly succeeded on January 6th. All it would have needed was a little bit more from Vice President Mike Pence or Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson or just a few other people, and we would have had absolute chaos here. And what you have, what Tucker Carlson is doing right now, is showing this kind of footage in a cherry-picked way to try to make the case that it wasn't as violent as we all saw it was. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called what Tucker Carlson showed one of the most shameful hours we have ever seen on television. The show was an insult to every single police officer, Schumer said, especially the family of Brian Sicknick, who died later after fighting the mob. Nonviolent, Schumer said. Ask his family. And Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell said it was a mistake for Fox to depict the footage as it did, at odds with the Capitol Police. Mitch McConnell has said, we stand with law enforcement. We know what really happened there. And what really happened is what the Capitol Police said and what we all saw. So Tucker Carlson can literally try to whitewash this as much as he wants. But even fellow Republicans are saying, get off my side. This is something where, amazingly, Trump was not convicted in a second impeachment. He is able to run for president again right now. It's something that never should have existed, but at least more Republicans are saying, at least stop trying to portray it as the actions of a group of tourists when it was anything but. We'll talk to Mike Brown from A Better Wisconsin Together coming up about the state Supreme Court race in just a bit. You're up north.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Another winter storm is taking its toll on New England and New York.
There's trees down everywhere. I had to turn around four times.
Internet's down. Yep. Wi-Fi is terrible. I mean, we can't. Our cell phones don't work up here right now.
A Texas court hears a case today brought by Christian conservatives who seek to overturn the FDA's more than two-decade-old approval of the abortion pill mifepristone. Julie Marie Blake is with Alliance Defending Freedom.
We're confident that when any court looks at the law and looks at the science, it will realize that the FDA has completely failed its responsibility to protect women and girls.
The drug is the most common method of abortion in the U.S. NASA releases an image captured by the Webb Space Telescope, which shows a star about to go supernova.
All that gas around it has already been blown out into space. And when the fusion reactions finally stop, the star will explode.
That's CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
March 15th. March 15th.
What's March 15th?
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of up to 50% off on our Civic Media premium weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number. Don't wait. March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
It's the Mad City Bridal Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for tickets at madcitybridalexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets are also available at the door for $10. Read all the details at madcitybridalexpo.com and like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Bridal Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
All right, well, it's worth asking if WMC is going to ride to the rescue here of Dan Kelly, the former justice who's trying to get back on the court. I was just looking as we get set to, we'll talk to Mike Brown in just a second here. But as we look at political ad spending, there is an organization called Ad Impact Politics, which provides updates on spending. Yesterday, it noted that to this point, Janet Protasiewicz in the general election campaign has spent $7 million. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is next with $3.2 million. Next is Fair Courts America. That's the PAC, super PAC run by conservative billionaire Dick Eline, $1.7 million. And then the group of Better Wisconsin at $1.1 million. Who's not on that list? Dan Kelly had yet to place any general reservations. And in an updated post, Ad Impact Politics says that the WMC Issues Mobilization Council buy has now reached $3.2 million. They now make up 65% of conservative TV space reservations in the general election. Somebody who knows a thing or two about WMC and some of the other groups taking part in the state Supreme Court election from A Better Wisconsin Together is Mike Brown. Brownie, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Pat?
Very good. Thank you very much for joining us. And we're going to talk in a bit here about the how you guys have let people know that there are definitely some national extremists coming into play in the state. But because you have for years, sometimes it seems like you probably know more about WMC than WMC knows about themselves, as you do research on, you know, political spending and political activities by these groups. Forgive me for just lobbing it up this way, but it's probably no surprise to you that WMC is the group spending the second most amount of money, with one of the candidates being first.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, WMC has long been interested in Supreme Court races going back to 2008, where a decision went against manufacturers of lead paint. WMC didn't like that, and they decided to try and change the majority of the court. Really became heavily involved in supporting conservative and right-wing candidates for the court, and quite honestly have been successful at it for a number of years. You know, interestingly, they don't run on their corporate agenda. They run on other issues intended to divide and inflame and help elect conservatives, but they have been successful over the years in forming a court, and we have all borne the brunt of a conservative majority on the Supreme Court in a number of ways, not just on you know, tilting the scales further in favor of big business, but on a whole host of other issues like, you know, redistricting that delivers a legislature that's more amenable to the right wing agenda, you know, issues of clean water, environmental issues. And obviously, as we have seen significantly in the last couple of years, issues of voting rights, including, you know, just recently taking away secure ballot drop boxes from municipalities.
Yeah, I mean, they do have an impact. And I've told the story before that it was right before the 1998 election cycle when WMC said they were going to start engaging in something called issue ads, which are political ads, but they're not the same as political ads because they don't have the magic words of vote for or vote against. And so they basically could spend unlimited sums. And I remember thinking heading into that 1998 campaign, covering that story as a reporter, going, this is going to change a lot. And it has. I mean, I don't have the number in front of me of the, I don't know if it's tens of millions of dollars WMC has spent over the years. Maybe it's hundreds of millions by this point. It's hard to say, but we talk about Citizens United opening the floodgates, but it really did happen, you know, back at that point as well.
Yeah, it sure did. You know, the other interesting thing about WMC is that they were among a group of people who literally wrote the recusal rules for judges on the Supreme Court, which, you know, when you think about it, having special interests who are spending millions of dollars to elect candidates for the court, literally writing the recusal rules about when judges should not hear cases is a little, I guess, towards the sleazy side of the spectrum. You know, there have been efforts over the years to reform those rules, including, you know, just a few years ago, 50 plus retired judges got a petition in front of the court to change those recusal rules, to tighten them up, to impose stronger ethics standards in our courts. And Dan Kelly was among those judges who rejected it.
I'm glad you brought that up because we have been focusing primarily on the direct aspect of the court, on things like women's health rights and on democracy. And I will acknowledge that most voters aren't really paying attention to, you know, internal court matters about recusal. But the things that you just laid out there are things I've wanted to talk about because it does make the case that it lends that appearance of corruption to a court when they set standards that allow them to not have to pull away from cases involving parties that were massive campaign donors to them. It should seem rather automatic that you wouldn't do that, but this conservative court, again, kind of rewrote the rules to say the rules don't really apply to them.
Absolutely, Pat. You're right about that. And I'll give you just a couple examples. We can use Dan Kelly again as an example. You know, when he was briefly serving on the court after being appointed by Scott Walker and before losing his 2020 election, he sided every time with an organization called the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Now, the interesting thing about that is that Dan Kelly served on their litigation advisory board before being appointed to the court. And while he was on the court, accepted thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from members of the board of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, and then decides with them when they appear before the court frequently, trying to advance their right-wing agenda. In another case, Dan Kelly actually did recuse himself from the case, subsequently received thousands of dollars from one of the litigants and even more from family members of one of the parties to the case, and then turned around and unrecused himself. I mean, these are cases where I think you can see he's demonstrating the need for stronger recusal rules on the court.
And instead, while he did get bounced from his seat in 2020 by Jill Karofsky, he's running again, and this time taking the experience of that and having some other resources, whether he planned them or not. He knows the importance of the Supreme Court race, so it shouldn't surprise us that certain extremists are on the national scene are getting set to play in Wisconsin. And A Better Wisconsin Together made special note of one nationally known social media influencer by the name of Scott Pressler. Can you tell folks a bit about his background and why it's concerning that, you know, he and any of his allies want to get involved in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think this really reflects on Dan Kelly in that these kinds of people are coming to Wisconsin from across the country to try and get him elected to the court, very explicitly because they say he's one of them. Now, Scott Pressler is a right-wing social media influencer. He has a pretty robust following among the right in the country, including in Wisconsin. He has been involved in a whole number of really unsavory activities. He worked very closely with what is described as the largest anti-Muslim group in America. It's categorized as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. He was intimately involved in promoting the January 6th insurrection, was there on the day and called it the largest civil rights protests in American history. He traffics in QAnon conspiracy theories and has just been a bad actor on the right, trying to rally right-wing voters to turn out for right-wing candidates that share these really abhorrent beliefs, trying to turn them out to the polls. And he has come to Wisconsin to try and do the same on very explicitly on Dan Kelly's behalf, because he believes Dan Kelly is the kind of person that people like him want on the court. And he's obviously not alone. You know, I mean, Dan Kelly himself bragged that $20 million from the right wing is going to come into this state and be spent on his behalf. Now, he's not pulling that number out of the air. He has a pretty good idea that is actually going to happen. So I think that is, you know, and as you noted, Pat, we're starting to see the start of it right now.
And it's not like Dan Kelly can really put a lot of distance there when you consider his paid role on behalf of the state and national Republican parties on issues related to the big lie that surrounded the 2020 election. It's there's very little plausible deniability, not that Dan's even trying, but there wouldn't be even if he did.
Yeah, you know, again, you're absolutely right. These folks are here for a reason, because Dan Kelly has shown over and over and over again that he's one of them. Before he got appointed to the court, you know, he was on, like I mentioned earlier, on the litigation advisory board of a right-wing outfit that tries to use the courts to advance their right-wing political agenda. He worked for a major foundation that funneled tens of millions of dollars into right-wing causes. He served as a lawyer doing work for one of the groups now that is trying to maintain the 1849 abortion ban in the state of Wisconsin. When he was on the court, he consistently sided with this right-wing organization on whose advisory council he served, and made a number of other decisions on the right wing. And then, as you noted, when he left the court, paid six figures by the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And in January 6th committee testimony, we found out he was helping advise on their fake elector scheme. You know, his financial disclosures that he's required to file with the state show even more. He was paid by the Bradley Foundation, one of the largest funders of right-wing causes in the nation, as large as the Koch brothers. He was paid by an outfit out of Illinois, the Liberty Justice Center, that, interesting, one of the cases they brought was to remove contribution limits to jiu-jitsu candidates in Illinois, and they are closely associated with Dick Uihlein, who just happens to be pouring millions of dollars into trying to elect Dan Kelly. So he has shown again and again, before he was on the court, while he was on the court, and after he left the court, that he is really a dedicated right-wing advocate, and that he is willing to use his position either as a lawyer or as a member of the court to advance those causes.
All right, here's the part where you and I get to get into a little bit of we get to whine for a minute about what we do. You are one of the best researchers that Wisconsin progressives could want. And I'm looking at some of the things that you have researched, that Kelly said this, Kelly wrote that, Kelly stood for this. These people helped Kelly. On and on it goes. You do the work to find these things. But, you know, elections are quite often won and lost just in those 30-second ads or in those mass mailers. And you and I know, you know, how Brian Hagedorn was not expected to win 3 years ago, but then, despite, again, all of these things that were found about, you know, that voters didn't know about him, he managed to win. So all the research in the world can't help if either the candidate or outside groups don't put it to work. So you're doing the research, but if I gave you just a second to put on the hat of a campaign consultant or an ad manager or whatever, what would be the summation of this research that voters should know about Dan Kelly in just one of those 30-second terms?
I mean, I think really what we have learned about Dan Kelly is that he is a right-wing extremist. That is what he believes. He cares about that. He doesn't care about the priorities of the people of most of the people of Wisconsin on the issues that they care about. He doesn't share our values. And we have seen that as a member of the court, he has taken action on that right-wing extremism. And that is a very dangerous thing for those of us that believe, you know, our court should be working to protect our rights and they should be working for average people to make sure that, you know, we get a fair hearing when we're in court and we're not. You know, our interests aren't secondary to the special interests or big business and corporations.
Well, Brownie, I got to tell you, everybody in Wisconsin had to pour it on because of a big election in November. And while the rest of the country pretty much got to take a breather after that, you and so many others had to jump right back in because you know how important this state Supreme Court race is come April. So I hope about 4 weeks from now, you finally get that vacation you so richly deserve. And thank you so much for providing us with some of this information and sharing it with our listeners today.
Really appreciate it, Pat. Really appreciate you taking the time to cover these very important issues. This is an incredibly important election coming up.
Appreciate that, Ron. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right, let's take a quick pause here. And then when we come back, I believe we have one caller wanting to talk about the Supreme Court race. And then we'll talk to Todd Alba and see what's coming up on his show next on many of these civic media radio stations. You're up north.
Warm ovens and great smells aren't the only reason people love working at Country Hearth. Job security at a third-generation family-owned company, great pay and benefits, and the opportunity to rise within the company are also in the mix. Besides production, there are a lot of other positions throughout the bakery. Maintenance fixes and maintains machines. Sanitation keeps the machinery and facility clean and safe. Shipping coordinates getting products from point A to point B, and there are delivery driver positions too. Are you ready to find the best fit for you? Find out more and apply today at countryhearthjobs.com.
Hey, Wisconsin, voting is one of our fundamental rights. Every eligible citizen has the right to be heard. You need an acceptable photo ID to vote in the spring election on April 4th. Vote Riders provides free help to get your Wisconsin ID card. Please visit voteriders.org today. They can answer all your questions about voter ID and offer free help if you need an ID to vote. If you're a citizen and you need an ID, visit voteriders.org. Voteriders.org.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 45. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 38. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 45. A dusting of snow Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
I got to tell you, I hear the Madison local station in my headphones as we're coming out of commercial break. I'm not hearing Wausau or Richland Center or whatnot. And the Madison forecast from Weatherology calls for 5 to 10 inches there. We're going to ask Todd Alba about that, that feeling of dread of what Mother Nature is dumping on us next. But first, there was one call from our last segment on the state Supreme Court. Stephen's calling in from Green Bay. Stephen, thanks for hanging in there. What's on your mind?
Hey, Pat. I just, you know, wanted to make a couple of comments regarding the Supreme Court race.
Sure.
I was just actually at my sister-in-law's house last night, and I asked them, I said, hey, do you know anything about the candidates that are going to be going up in the Supreme Court race? And they knew nothing. So I took some time to educate them on both Kelly and Protasewicz. And I think it's just important for us as voters to really, you know, do whatever you can do. If there's family members like, you know, I had who don't know about the Supreme Court race, to talk to them. I think it's important to make sure that they really understand the stark differences between the two candidates and the issues that they're running on. Or, you know, if you can put a yard sign in your yard so when people drive by your yard, they can see, you know, who you support. The two candidates in this Supreme Court race, I don't know if in my lifetime I've ever seen such a stark and drastic difference between the two candidates. And it's really, do we want someone on our Supreme Court that is going to bring the values of most of the populace in the state of Wisconsin with them? Or do we want someone who exercise in basically fascism, taking that power and trying to rule from our Supreme Court off the bench?
Okay, so that's really exactly the kind of points that have got to be made to friends and family, Stephen. And I can't thank you enough for synthesizing that so well for the listeners. And that, again, it should encourage more people to talk to their neighbors, not assume that they're going to go vote. So, Stephen, I appreciate those points. Thank you so much. Yeah, all right, let's turn to one Todd Alba from the ever so conveniently named Todd Alba Show, and find out what the heck he's. I don't know how you did that. How did you get a show that I don't get that.
I suggested it not be called that. One of the leading candidates I had was the Redemption Tour with Todd Alba. I thought that would be appropriate.
I thought that would be nice. Yeah,
yeah. But our boss Crudy said no. Just make it the Todd Alba Show. He says actually a little insight. He said he wished that he would have named Devil's Advocate Crudy and Dom. So that was so I don't know. I said you're the boss. So I'll do what you want.
Okay. I mean, look, if they want names on here, if we want to go with, Zommers and Alba, it flows right off the tongue.
Right?
I mean, wouldn't
exactly.
Zommers get first billing?
Well, you could do A to Z, Alba to Zommers.
That's true. That you could do that.
Or Z to, Z to
you
A.
You caved so fast on that, Aaron. I mean, Aaron's giving you top billing, and you're ready. Oh, we could go alphabetical. You've been alphabetical at the back end all your life.
Yeah,
and
but
you had
then,
a chance to stand up for yourself.
But that's catchy. And my name is already A to Z. It's already alphabetical on its own, too.
That's true. Aaron Zommers, see?
Oh, hey.
That's so good. Yeah. That's so good.
Alba and Zommers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know. It works. You have... You have, again, a star-studded lineup of
folks. We're very fortunate. Let me tell you how this happened. Normally, we have Trygve Olsen, who is one of the senior advisors to the Lincoln Project, and he's a fine guest in his own right. We love to have him every Wednesday. Grew up in Wisconsin, went on to do great things nationally, internationally, and he comes on our little program every Wednesday, and we appreciate it. He is flying today. He's traveling. And so he got the other co-founder, one of the other co-founders of the Lincoln Project, Reed Galen, to fill in for him. I was excited to have that. And then Reed came up ill last night. He said, I can't do the whole hour. So he and his wonderful assistant reached out and got Stuart Stevens to be on our show, a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. And Pat, you probably have this as well. I mean, you've been in the news business a lot longer than I was, and much more successful, by the way. But you have those guests that you're like, you know, wouldn't it be great if I could just talk to this person, right? Like, geez, I'd love to find a way to get that person. And this is the book right here. It Was All a Lie, How the Republican Party Became Donald Trump. I read this during COVID, during the pandemic, during lockdown. Pat, it was like going to therapy. Because it was, let me just read you the opening line. I mean, can you imagine a Republican saying this today? I mean, here, if you want to write a book, folks, here's how you do it. I have no one to blame but myself. I believed. That's where it all started to go wrong. I was drawn into a party that espoused a core set of values. And it goes on to say, what a fool I was. I mean, that is a redemption tour right there. I mean, what a way to start a book. I mean, it just draws you in. And I read this, and I think you, as someone who spent, you know, a lot of your life in politics and observing politics, you know, it turns out you chose the right side. But I think that for those of us who, and I'm not trying to paint with a completely broad brush, you and I both know there are Republicans out there who have done good things. And the party.
And again, not to interrupt your train of thought, but believe me, I've told a couple of stories of things that I wish I would have been more forceful or said differently. And said to some of my own party members, how many times I've said, and again, jokingly, folks, jokingly, right. I said, there are some Democrats I'd sooner push in front of a bus than some Republicans I know. Only because, and you know, you probably know some of the people I'm talking about in that Capitol building will do that over a beer. But, you know, again, we don't want to paint with a broad brush, but it is right now the Republican Party that is so very publicly wrestling with itself.
Yeah, it is. For me, it was super cathartic because a lot of the things that Stuart talks about in his book are things that I saw in my career. And when you get after 25, 30 years, you look back and just say, yeah, I helped a couple of good people. I'm proud of that. But I was part of a movement that I maybe didn't realize or I didn't want to recognize at the time. And then to step back in your 50s or 60s and say, holy crap, what the heck was I doing? I mean, it's powerful. And Stuart wrote about this in his book. We're going to have him on at 8:15 for the 8 o'clock hour. So I cannot wait. Pull up I wish I just had a glass of whiskey or a nice bottle or a nice glass of Cabernet, because that's usually what I drank reading this book.
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to want to listen back to the show as a podcast through civicmedia.us and then pull up that episode in the evening as I pour that first little tumbler of Knob Creek.
Exactly.
Okay, Knob Creek. I shouldn't say
that's
tumbler.
That's a good one.
What's that, Aaron?
Knob Creek is mine, my whiskey of choice as well.
I knew I liked this kid. Wow,
he's fantastic.
He's good. I know he really is. I'm telling you, maybe ever, front billing.
Ever try a Pendleton whiskey, a Canadian?
I have. Yeah, that's pretty good too. It's a lot more of a gentle flavor.
Yeah,
I guess.
Smooth, very smooth.
Look at this. When did this become whiskey talk all of a sudden with Zomers and Alba? This is crazy.
We just need to bring in Kristen Bry. She's another whiskey expectation out of.
Let's do that sometime.
Maybe at our host training next Wednesday.
No, I'm going to miss that.
Pat.
I'm going to be. I know I had a previously planned thing, so I know.
All right,
we'll work it out. Hey, speaking of people you love to get as a guest, and I've had these guests before, but I'm really excited tomorrow. State Representatives Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton.
See, Francesca is on my list. You got her before I did. God bless you.
Oh, So happy the first time that I got her booked on here. And tomorrow she and Christina Shelton are going to talk about reintroducing the Economic Justice Bill of Rights. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Let's talk about it in 5 minutes of my show, Pat.
Why don't we? I'll go pour a glass of milk because it's 8 o'clock in the morning and we'll carry on from there.
Sounds great.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd. All right. Talk to you on your show in just a minute on several of these Civic Media radio stations. Whether you're going to that show or elsewhere, we appreciate you joining us on this Wednesday morning. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
the Ides of March, the day that Caesar was killed, and it's the final day for you to make a killer deal.
March 15th.
That's right, March 15th is your last day to take advantage of our biggest sale. We're slashing prices on our premium sponsorships up to 50%.
Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results.
But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rock Onsen.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.